You may be seated. Today we continue our series on parables. We have two parables for you about faith. Let me encourage you to find your sermon notes, follow along as we go. Fill in the blanks if you like. Most importantly, talk about it, pray about it, and live the message that you hear. There's a lot of theology you can learn from the newspaper, especially from the comic section. I read the Northwest Herald every day, and my favorite parts of it are the sports page and the comics. And I love especially Family Circus. You can learn a lot from the Family Circus. It also kind of reminds me of my own household growing up. There's one in particular not too long ago. It's on a Sunday morning, kind of like this. The snow was gently falling outside of the church. It was a winter wonderland. Little Billy comes out with his mom, and he takes it all in. He revels in this picture, and he says, "My praying worked." Because in that previous panel of the comics, there was Billy, like the kids were earlier. They had their hands folded. He had his head bowed. His eyes closed, and he was praying to God that there would be a snowstorm. And that afternoon, he could do all the sledding that he wanted in the back of his house down this glorious hill. When he came out of the church, so often like you and I do, after we have been praying for a very long time for something incredibly important in our lives, and finally the miracle occurs, we think, "My praying worked." Well, today, as we look at our two parables, and especially this first one, we can certainly conclude that prayer works. We know that it does in good Lutheran fashion. We can say this is most certainly true. You know from experience, I know from experience, praying works, but that is not the point of this particular parable. In fact, if you go home after the service and you look up Luke 18, there'll be a little caption there right before this first parable. It will not say how to get exactly what you want through prayer. It says the persistent widow and the unjust judge. So this parable, this story is really all about perseverance. Certainly perseverance in prayer, but in every other area of life as well, and certainly, most certainly, in our life of faith. So let's take a quick look. It's a very straightforward prayer. If you were, or parable, if you were listening to the story from Jesus, you could immediately identify with a widow. She is poor. All widows are poor. They cannot work. She's also probably familiar with hunger and famine and being in need. You also know that the Romans are oppressors. And not only the Romans, but all the national rulers and the justice system is incredibly corrupt. So the only way that you ever take anything to a judge is if you are a Roman, a ruler, or rich. And the widow is none of those. She can't even get the judge's attention. He won't see her. But she persists. She nags him, and she nags him, and she nags him. And finally he says, "You know, I don't fear God. I don't care what people think. She's not giving me any kind of a bribe. I'm not making any money out of this. There's nothing in it for me, except if I hear her, I'm finally going to get rid of her." He even wonders if she's going to come to his chambers and smack him around a little bit to get her way. And so he listens. And he rules in her favor. Jesus then urges the faithful, those who are listening, to be as persistent in pursuing God as this widow is in pursuing the judge. Now, this is not a comparison, but rather he is contrasting God and the judge. He's not saying, "Keep pestering God, slap him around a little bit until you get your way." This is one of those, if this, then how much more is this? So if an evil, corrupt, immoral judge who doesn't fear God or care what people think, if he will listen to your case, how much more will the God of heaven, who loves you, who cares for you, and as we know now, sent his son to die for you, how much more is he going to listen and to give you what is important? So, very clearly, the parable is about persistence and perseverance. Now, let me ask you, parents especially, those of you who have had small children at one time or another, do you need, in most cases, perseverance and persistence to potty train your children? I don't know what your experience has been, but Sharon and I raised an autistic child. And he was not a toddler when he learned to go to the bathroom on his own. We tried and we tried and we tried. It wasn't until he was 6 years old. And this is no exaggeration. It's true that in the sermon I occasionally exaggerate, but not this time. It took us all summer in the bathroom. Literally in the bathroom. We would spend entire weekends in the bathroom where you didn't leave. We brought the food in to the bathroom. We brought videos and the TV into the bathroom. We even hired people to be with Philip in the bathroom. We all know that perseverance is one of the most important qualities in just about anything that we do in life. If you are living with someone who is addicted, you know about perseverance. It takes a truckload to help that person get through it. If there's someone that you love that has had cancer, or some disease like that, you know about perseverance in order to get through. Many, many years ago, Ignatius of Loyola said this, "Pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you." The point of the parable is that perseverance is important, certainly in prayer, but also in your walk with God. I would guess that not all of you are on the mountaintop of life this morning. I would guess that there are some of you who are in the valley. Your experience is not one incredible, joyful day after day after day. And sometimes when you're in that valley, when you're in that low place, you're tempted to no longer trust in God, to wonder if he is even there and listening. And Jesus is saying, God hears you. God hears your cries, even when you get that not yet answer. And in the end, he says, God's justice will prevail. Philip is now 31 years old. Thankfully, potty trained. But he's still autistic. He rarely speaks. He's not social. He lives in a group home. And yet God hears the cries of the faithful. And he says, I will bring you justice quickly. And in our humanness, we say, you know, 31 years is not very fast. But in God's time. And so as we pray, know that God hears our cries. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going through. And if the answer is not yet, it is either so that you can grow closer to him, as I certainly have, or for those who do not yet believe that they will have another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity to know just how much God loves them. So the first parable, very clear, keep praying. Be persistent. God hears you. But then Jesus tells another one. He says, for those of you who think that just because, like little Billy, you prayed and prayed and you got what you wanted, if you think God answers your prayers because you're so righteous, well, let me tell you another story. There were two men. One was a Pharisee and one was a tax collector, and they went to the temple to pray. And we have this Pharisee, and he stands there and he says in a loud voice, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this, and point to whomever you want right now, or even like this tax collector. And then he goes and he explains to God how good of a job he did in creating him. He says, God, I am so wonderful. I fast twice a week, even though the law says that I only need to fast one day a year on the Day of Atonement. And I give a tenth of everything you've given me back to you. What a wonderful, perfect person I am. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to the heavens. But he beat his breast and whispered, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, you know what, people, you might not believe this, but it is this man who is justified before God and not the other. And we say, what? I mean, let's really break it down here. The Pharisee is a good person. He's in church every time he's supposed to be. He gives generously to God. He helps widows across the street. Blind people too, probably. He adopts stray puppies from the pound. He coaches his son's little league team years after the son is no longer playing. He's a great guy. And yet, as we see in this parable, what is going on is this gospel reversal. It's the other guy, the corrupt person, the cheater, the liar, the tax collector, the swindler. He's the one who is justified. And so the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Once again, God takes everything that we believe to be true, and he turns it on its head. That God's way is far beyond human understanding and prediction. So again, what's the point? Just like the very first parable where there is a straightforward point, there is again. And it's this, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now again, we need to understand the Pharisee is a good person. But his problem is he seeks to justify himself by his own righteousness. And yet we're reminded once again, there's no one righteous. There's no one who doesn't sin, not even one. And then we have the tax collector. He really is a bad person. But he receives forgiveness based on Christ's righteousness. What I want you to see here is that there are two kinds of people. And you're one of them. You're not the same one all the time, but you're probably one of them some of the time. You are either the Pharisee or you are the tax collector. Earlier we did that confession thing, you remember that? We had this little moment of silence. How many of you needed more time? Yeah. That's when we're the tax collector. And we list all the things that we've done wrong. 12 seconds was not enough. We needed a minute, or two, or 10. That's the tax collector. We come to worship empty and lost, and God fills us up. But I will have to admit, this is probably not you, only me, but sometimes I am that Pharisee guy. And during those 12 seconds, I'm going like, I got nothing. I mean, it's been a good week. I am full of something good. I mean, I've done everything right this week. I got my sermon notes done on time. Julie didn't have to bug me in the office. I vacuumed the floor at home because we're doing dinners for 8 tonight. I even Swiffered and dusted the furniture. I've been kind to everyone this week. I even said little thank you notes to people who did nice things for me. And we fill ourselves up with all this goodness. And like the Pharisee who doesn't ask for mercy, we come to church and we don't ask for anything either. And that's what we get. And then we go home to dinner and we think, you know what, I feel a little empty. I wasn't really filled up. Maybe it was the sermon. Well, maybe. Or maybe not. And so the point of all of this is to keep on praying like the widow. And even when we get the not yet, God is giving that to us as a gift. It is filled with grace so that we might keep praying. So we might grow in our faith and grow in our relationship with Him. And if we are that Pharisee, where we think God only answered the prayer because I kept bugging Him, or because I am so righteous, then we have the second parable. You see, you don't have to follow the formula. God's grace is unexpected. It's not dependent on whether you said the prayers correctly or whether you were singing with the songs or whether you know all the right religious phrases. God's grace is being poured out to you. So keep praying. And in humble faith, hold on to God. In the good times and the bad, as Pharisee or tax collector, as God then continues to pour out His grace on you. Amen? Amen. Let's watch a video now about our wonderful Emmanuel Lutheran School, how it serves our children, but also how we as a congregation can continue to bless our school as it blesses others as well. Let's take a look.